The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. After the song, please stay tuned for a message of God's sovereign grace.
These wise men were more diligent in their study than these other scribes and elders. Okay. So they got to see Jesus and they got to worship Him. And so now these people are memorialized in history, right? We sing songs about the wise men. I'm not sure how we started calling them three kings, but you know, they were just wise men. But nonetheless, you know, there are rewards for diligently seeking Him. Not necessarily that you're going to get wealthy, okay? Most of the time, you're probably going to be in poverty. But you will be rich. You will be rich in your heart. Okay, so very different than the people who went to Jesus' grave seeking Jesus, knowing that He was dead, but He really wasn't. These people had no other evidence. They just knew from their personal digging and study that this is where they would find Jesus. And so they went and they found Him. All right, so now, Luke chapter 2. You got a little different category of people here. We'll settle in around verse 8. Luke 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. All right, so imagine for a second that you're a shepherd, and this is, you know, electricity, okay? So you're out on the hillsides. There's no light pollution coming from Bethlehem. It's just dark. It's in the nighttime, and you're tending those sheep, and I'm sure those sheep are lovely little creatures, okay? And then all of a sudden, light everywhere, okay? And that, you know, having no frame of reference, you know, if that happens to us out here, you're out in the pasture somewhere and light comes on, well, you think, all right, well, somebody's shining a light, you know, somebody's pulling up something. With them, that was no reference, okay? The light just comes out. I'm sure it was a shocking experience, to say the least. And then angels come out of heaven and start telling them this message. All right, so these shepherds, they're not seeking out where to find Jesus. Okay, they're not seeking this information like the wise men were. They were looking diligently to find evidence and to find the prophecy and to look at the stars to have confirmation. These are people who were just out there working. And the message comes to them, okay? And all of this glory coming out of heaven and these angels singing and then saying that in the town of Bethlehem your Savior is born. Now, the angels didn't give them an instruction, you must go to Bethlehem. They just said the baby is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And then the angels go away. And so these people have now received a message, a message of good news. And what do they do with the message? Okay, what do they do now that they've received this message? Well, you know, they could say, well, you know, I guess we'll wait in the morning. We can go check it out tomorrow, you know. No, they said, let's go right now. Middle of the night, no flashlights. They just said, let's go right now. Angels out of heaven just told us that the Messiah that we've been waiting on is born in Bethlehem. Let's go. And so they did. And again, just like those wise men got the blessing of being there, they got the blessing of sitting there and looking upon their Savior in a special way. So, let's differentiate these people, all right? So the wise men, they studied, they sought it out. These shepherds, they received a message, okay? A lot of times, the Lord blesses us with instructions on how to live life, even though we didn't study it, okay? I have been sitting there listening to someone preach many times, and God is hitting me over the head with instructions for how to serve Him better, how to seek Him better, and I didn't even have to work to uncover it, okay? So, look, I hope that you experience all of these categories of people from time to time. I hope you get to experience what it's like to be the wise men who in your diligent search and your private study, you see more elements of Christ and get to visit with Him. And I hope also that as ministers preach the message, as we hear the message preached to us, that we might respond, that we might not respond to get saved, okay? We're not talking about a reaction to the gospel to accept Christ and to be saved. You realize that it was a miracle in the first place that the angels came and appeared to these people, okay? God already performs a miracle in your heart, but now as His child, He gives you messages and instruction for how to live you someday. You know, they don't follow my instructions in order to be my children, okay? They have my love. They are my children. But they follow my instructions so that they might live a better life, right? Hopefully. Well, just like with us, we get instructions for how to live better, how to experience deeper fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Let's obey it. Let's put it in practice, just like these shepherds did. They heard the good news. They didn't wait around, you know. So I'll do it next week. You know, I'll look at my calendar. I'll do it next week. They said, I'm free right now. Let's go. Let's go right now and see Jesus. I wish that I had that sort of gumption, that sort of spirit to seek Him. Okay, so next, we go over to verse 25, and we see another category of people. Luke 2, verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." He had been waiting for that comfort of Christ appearing. "And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Wow, how about that? You know, this man obviously was an older man, if death was something on his mind, okay? And then the Lord gives him this peace through the Holy Spirit and lets him know, you will not die until you have seen the Christ. Imagine that. Imagine how excited you'd be every day as you went to the temple and as you did your service, knowing that God has told you that before you breathe your last in this life, you will see the Christ. Isn't that amazing? And so what did he do? He was devout and diligent in his service. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." This tells me that this man had been waiting on this for a minute. Okay? He had been waiting on this moment for a minute, because now that he is seeing Christ and he's got that relief, he's ready to go home. He's ready to go. You know, the presence of Christ will often do that to us. You know, he has this wonderful ability of putting our priorities in order. You know, you have all these things that you want to do in life. You've got all these projects that you're working on, all these things that matter to you. And then all of a sudden you experience the presence of God and you feel that peace. And all of a sudden, none of those things really matter. You know, you don't really care to wait around here any longer. You just want to be with Him. And so here Simeon gets to experience Jesus. He gets to hold Him. Now, I can't wait for Christ to hold me. I can't wait for Christ to wrap His arms around me. But can you imagine this special blessing that Simeon got? To hold this baby. The one who would shed His blood for Simeon's sins. Who would shed His blood for my sins and for your sins. Because Simeon checked in every day to serve God. Well, Simeon didn't get saved from his sins because he was diligent. You understand? He got this added blessing of seeing Jesus in this way because he was diligent. You understand that? Just because we believe that Christ has secured our eternal destiny in through His blood and not of any work of us doesn't mean that there aren't blessings in obedience here in this life. Okay? Verse 36, "And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So Simeon gets this blessing. Also, this humble servant Anna, as she had devoted her life to service in the temple, she'd given everything. And she had been there day in, day out serving. And she was, we can only imagine, at the end of her life, you know, the Lord blessed her to see this too. Now imagine this. Imagine that Simeon or that Anna, they woke up that day and they just said, "Well, you know what? I'm tired today. I'm sore. I've done a whole lot of service to the Lord. I think today I'll just stay here and take care of myself today." Now look, there is certainly a place for us taking care of ourselves, okay? Jesus had to take time. He had to take time to Himself. Now often he had pushed Himself so far that He was able to sleep through a storm out in the ocean, out in the Sea of Galilee. But even Jesus had physical limitations that He allowed Himself to be put under, right? But again, what if they had just said, "Today I'm just going to stay home," and miss the blessing, okay? It is a blessing for us to worship God together publicly like this. And we get to experience. Sometimes I think we don't experience it because we're not coming to church looking for it, okay? But we get to experience worshiping this same God that Simeon and Anna got to hold or got to look at. So, again, another category, this category of people is diligent in service. You want to see Christ. You want to see Jesus. Be diligent. Be diligent. And that's hard for us. All right, then, last sort of category we'll look at, still in Luke 2, but in verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it." Now, I've got to say, this makes me feel just a slight bit better about my feeble attempts at parenting, okay? Because they just left their child there. They didn't really know that they did. Jesus hangs back at Jerusalem, in Jerusalem at the temple. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They go a whole day. You know, Brother Mason got left at church one time, right? Well, wasn't it you? Got left at, I guess everybody else went to, I don't know, it was the Holly's house or something. So they went somewhere and just left Mason here. You know, but that wasn't a whole day, okay? Your parents were good parents, okay? That wasn't a whole day. They just thought you were probably in the car with somebody else. Here, Jesus's parents go a whole day without realizing that Jesus is not with them. Now we say that's just crazy. How long have you gone walking down the road not realizing that you left Jesus back there a long time ago, right? Now that gets me, okay? So once they finally figured that they left their child, they need Jesus, they want to see Jesus again, obviously. Where do they go to see Jesus? Where do you go to find Jesus when you really need him bad? Okay. Well, they went to his father's house. They went to the temple, and lo and behold, there he was. There he was debating with all these people who spent their careers in studying the Word. And here he is, this child, is discussing deep matters of theology with them. That would have been something to see, something to hear. So, ultimately, the reason they weren't with Jesus was their fault, okay? Anytime that I find myself not with Jesus, it's my fault. Now, but Jesus doesn't ever leave us. He doesn't ever forsake us. And all it takes for us to be with him is to just go back and look for him. Go back. And where do you need to go back to? Where do you need to find him? It's pretty obvious where to find him. You go back to his father's house. Now, you go back to worship. You go back to your study. A chilling reminder to me of you know, I criticize their parenting skills and their absent-mindedness of walking without Christ there with them, without Jesus there with them. But it's exactly what I do. A day's journey without Jesus. You just now realize that you left him back at the temple. I don't know, maybe I'm just a sinner and confessing up here, but I left Jesus at church Sunday morning when I left. I hope it's an encouragement to us. You want to see Jesus, you can find him, I promise you. The problem that we have got as broken individuals is our want to is broken sometimes. And the only way for us to attack that problem is to commit our works unto the Lord. That means you show up just like Simeon and Anna, and you study, and you pray, and you come to worship, and you push through your lack of wanting to of your sinful flesh, and it will eventually give way to your want being restored. Now, we've covered all the categories that I wanted to talk about, but there's also another one that I can't help but think about, which is Zacchaeus. I always seem to find a way to use Zacchaeus. So, Zacchaeus is an example of somebody who knew exactly where to see Jesus, and he went there to see Jesus. The disciples, they went to the grave because they knew that's where Jesus was, but their problem was that they didn't expect him to be alive. You need to always expect that when you go to see Jesus, you're going to see him, okay? You need to always come expecting to visit with Christ. Your worship service experience will be radically different when you come into this place, when you come into your Bible time or your prayer time, whenever you have that. When you come into it expecting to visit with Jesus, it will be radically different. And the wise men, as they studied as they sought him. And they went and they found him. And then the shepherds, they weren't necessarily studying, but they received a message with instructions for how to find Christ. And what did they do? They listened and they followed the instructions. And just like the instructions said, they found Christ when they followed the instructions. Just like when we hear a gospel message, and you've got a choice. Give Jesus and visit with him, or you can just go about your business and continue to leave Jesus behind here at his Father's house. And then Simeon and Anna, who got to see Jesus because of their devotion, checking in day in, day out. They didn't take off days in their pursuit of Christ. Joseph and Mary, who, they find him, and they went there to his Father's house. Zacchaeus here, he knows exactly where Jesus is going to be because he's heard Jesus is going to pass by this way. He's coming through. And Zacchaeus is there. He goes there. But then things crop up. I don't know if you've ever, maybe I'm the only one who suffers from the spiritual warfare. Go do the things that you want to do sometimes. But things start getting in your way when you start trying to push to visit with Christ, right? Spiritual warfare is real. There are obstacles that get in your way. Maybe you do know exactly where to see Jesus. Maybe you've got the want to, just like Zacchaeus did. But obstacles will crop up. It's not just going to be easy like it was for the shepherds. And well, a message out of heaven comes down from these angels and tells you exactly where to go to see Jesus. Let me just walk over there and see him. Your path to seeing Jesus and to fellowshipping with him better is going to involve a lot of self-sacrifice, of pushing through discomfort to find him. Now, I don't know Satan or demons or maybe your flesh. Something is trying to make it as difficult as possible for you to push through. But just like Zacchaeus, he didn't back down. He pushed through his height deficiency, his obstacle there. So as we kind of process this sermon and think about it, you want to see Jesus, it's up to you. Jesus is there. I'm not asking you to do this to be saved from hell, like many, many people preach. Okay? He has done that for you. Praise God. But now, because he has, not just to give him thanks for the things that he's given us, for the nice things he's given us, but let's visit with him because your soul is made for him. Okay? That's the only place that you will ever actually be satisfied is in the presence of Christ. And so let's study, seek him. Let's find him and push through any obstacles that get in your way. I hope that's an encouragement to you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.